Howell is going to be continuing his series on the fruits of the Spirit tonight, and his theme is going to be goodness. And he's asked me to read the first part of Psalm 107, a great psalm of praise to God for his goodness. Psalm 107, and we'll read from the first verse down to verse 15. The 107th Psalm, verse 1. Let us hear the word of God. O give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, for his mercy endures forever. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so, whom he has redeemed from the hand of the enemy, and gathered out of the lands, from the east and from the west, from the north and from the south. They wandered in the wilderness in a desolate way. They found no city to dwell in, hungry and thirsty. Their soul fainted in them. Then they cried out to the Lord in their trouble, and he delivered them out of their distresses. And he led them forth by the right way, that they might go to a city for a dwelling place. Oh, that men would give thanks to the Lord for his goodness and for his wonderful works to the children of men. For he satisfies the longing soul and fills the hungry soul with goodness. Those who sat in darkness and in the shadow of death, bound in affliction and irons, because they rebelled against the words of God and despised the counsel of the Most High. Therefore, he brought down their hearts with labor. They fell down and there was none to help. And then they cried out to the Lord in their trouble, and he saved them out of their distresses. He brought them out of darkness and the shadow of death and broke their chains in pieces. Oh, that men would give thanks to the Lord for his goodness and for his wonderful works to the children of men. I will now hand over to Howell. May God bless you, Howell, as you bring God's word to us.
Thank you very much. And we're carrying on now with our little series in Galatians. And we're looking at the fruit of the Spirit. We've come now to goodness. Goodness. It comes. We did kindness last time, didn't we? But we're really getting through them. Time is flying, isn't it? So it won't be long before we finish them. We're in goodness now this evening. Now, quick recap. Allow me to repeat myself as I do right at the beginning of all of the studies in the series, because it is so important to get this. And if we miss it, then there's no point. You know, this is really, really important. If the Christian manages to bear in themselves all of the fruit of the Spirit, then, of course, they would be pleasing to the Father, wouldn't they? They would be walking in step with the Spirit. They would be bringing glory and honor to the Savior, to the Lord Jesus. And so it's natural, isn't it, for us as Christians to be itching to bear this fruit, to work this fruit up, to please our God and our Savior in that way, in bearing that fruit. But we mustn't forget that it's not our fruit, in a sense, is it? It's the fruit of the Spirit. It's the fruit of the Spirit that the Lord Jesus bears in us and out of us by his Holy Spirit. And so the scriptures, when they command us to pursue holiness, compel us to go to the Lord Jesus for that. And so that's the focus that we've really had, or tried to keep anyway, through this little series, as we study the fruit of the Spirit that you and I are to bear ourselves. It is the fruit of the Lord Jesus that he bears in us by his Holy Spirit to the glory of God the Father. Now, last time we looked at kindness. Now, this is a tough question, I know, but what did we say? Do you remember? Often it's hard to remember things that happened last week, or for me, even 5 minutes ago. But what did we say when we studied the fruit of the Spirit, kindness? Do you remember? What stood out to you? We talked, didn't we, about how the fruit of the Spirit, kindness, is about a character, a personality trait, before it's any sort of action, it's a general state of mind, a benevolence towards others. We observed, didn't we, that this begins in God, it is expressed in his Son, and it is given to us in his Holy Spirit. And so in God, as in us, this is most easily discerned as a generous spirit. Generosity was the hallmark we mentioned last time. So what are we going to see in goodness? Because that sounds like goodness, doesn't it? It's so close that oftentimes the word that was used for kindness last time is often translated as goodness. They're so closely linked. Can we distinguish them at all? It's not a stupid question to wonder whether Paul meant it to be the same thing when he wrote this down. They're obviously very close. We could hardly have one without the other. How are we going to make a series, a study, that looks at them independently? Well, a man called Donald Guthrie helps us out here. I don't know much about him. But I know he's good at Greek, all right? I know that. And he says about Paul. He says about Paul that Paul does not list synonyms without intending there to be a discerned difference between each word. And Guthrie suggests that goodness could be the activity of kindness. So that's interesting that he sees there, he wonders whether the goodness is the activity of kindness. Now, if we wind back the clock a bit to approximately 400 AD, we have a saint named Jerome. Jerome, one of our fathers in the faith, says that while kindness is the innate character of benevolence towards people, goodness is striving for the ultimate benefit of the other with all one's energies. And so I suspect that these people are right, that goodness is that activity of kindness, the practical outworking of kindness, even when it's difficult. Even when it's difficult for the good of the other person, we act on that kindness and we are good to them. And sometimes that is hard. So, for example, it might be kind to give to a drug addict some drugs if they need some drugs. That might be a kind thing to do, but it's not good for them, is it? Equally, you might have, you have your children or you're looking after your grandchildren. It might be unkind to deprive them of hours and hours and hours of mindless TV, but it could be good for them. And so they may be distinguished like that, that goodness is the striving and the activity of that benevolence, that kindness that we have in our character. So this fruit of the Spirit, now goodness, as with all of them, it comes from our God. So let's look at that goodness of God, that activity of his kindness. We're going to see it in three ways, God willing, now. First, generally, then especially, and then specifically. And we'll try to apply it to us then as we go. So first of all, generally, there's that common little maxim, isn't it? That little phrase, God is good. You might see it on bumper stickers or on phone backgrounds or people's profile pictures or whatever it is. God is good. And that really could be the header to every single page in our Bibles, couldn't it? God is good. It's all over the Psalms, isn't it? Psalm 34, taste and see that the Lord is good. Psalm 107 that we just read, oh, that men would praise God for his goodness because he is good. And then as we're reading through the scriptures and we see God is good, God is good, God is good. We find in the Greek translation of Nehemiah chapter 9 again, we've been there a number of times already recently, haven't we? And it's all over Ecclesiastes, which describes the good things that God gives to us. They describe all the things that we have in this world, anything that is good, it comes from, it has its origin in our Father. Our Father who knows how to give good gifts to his children. And so we see that generally that God is good and that everything he gives us is good. And all the good that we have and that we know in this life comes from him. Have you experienced that in your own life? Can you count your blessings and name them one by one? How has God been good to you recently or in your life? Has he been a little bit good to you or a lot? It doesn't even matter whether you're a Christian or not. The truth is that God is good. He is good to all, and he is always good all of the time. He is always so generous, that kindness, that generosity of his kindness, and it gives so much goodness. We read this in Psalm 52. The steadfast goodness of God endures all the day long. He is good. Now, when we're talking like this, we're in the realm of your socks and your central heating and your barber and your vaccine. He's the one who keeps our pharmacy open and our streets safe. The reason that you managed to click all the right buttons and get into this live stream safe and sound and nothing broke on the way in, you didn't get any viruses on your computer, is all because of the goodness of God. The fact that you have survived 2020 and so has your family is because of the goodness of God, generously giving to you and to me every breath, all the time that we've ever had, any and every degree of contentment or comfort, all comes from him in his good, kind providence. I want you to take a moment now and just look around the room that you're in. Just look around at the things, whether it's photos on the wall, the carpet under your feet, the seat that you sat on, the pet, your husband, your wife, whatever it may be. Literally everything that you clap your eyes on is a good gift from our God. Look at those photos and all of your loved ones. They are good gifts from our good God. Recall all of the memories of all of your friends and all of your the education, the job that you had, that first car that you had, all of the things that have come your way. It's been because of the goodness of God. He is good and he gives good. And this is absolutely extensive. In every area of our lives, in every dealing he has with us, God is good. Psalm 107 has that refrain, "All that men would give praise to our God for his goodness." Countless blessings that he has poured on our lives through the gift of Christ, and we must thank him for his goodness all the time. We could sing it every moment of every day. God is good. Really? Every moment, every day, every providence, good? What about when I'm in the pit? What about when God is angry with me or with my church or with my family because of our sins? What if when he is chastising me like a good father? Well, even then, we can sing praises to our God and call him good. We can say with the psalmist in Psalm 119 and verse, where is it now? 71. It was good for me that I was afflicted. Literally everything in our life comes down to that, the goodness of God. And even in our afflictions, even in our chastisement, even when he is angry with us, we still know his goodness. We read it even in Psalm 107, those who had sinned against the Lord, and so they knew the punishment of their sins in their life, they cry out to the Lord and he saves them. What does our God owe us? Nothing at all. So everything that he gives us is good. Could he be any gooder? I don't think so. By our Father, by the goodness of our Father, even darkness is light. Every evil is turned into good, and all things work out for good to those of us who love him. So that's speaking about God's goodness generally. This is the fruit of the Spirit, goodness, that general, all-pervasive, extensive, enduring, constant goodness that flows from the kindness of God. This is the sort of thing that we're talking about when we think about the fruit of the Spirit, goodness. But what about especially? He is good to us generally. He gives good things to us all the time. But where do we find his most precious gift? It's not a hard question, is it? You know where I'm going to go with that. What is his most generous goodness to us? But his Son. When he gives his good and only Son to us, the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, last time, I asked you for what would be your go-to verse to talk about the kindness of the Lord Jesus. And it was my pleasure and privilege to read some messages later that week of people texting me their go-to verse for kindness. Now, I want to know, what is your go-to verse for the goodness of God in Jesus Christ? What is that go-to verse? And you can send it to me. It might be Exodus 33. Where Christ is called the goodness of God. Might be Psalm 21, just like last time, where the Son is crowned with all of the goodness of the Father. Or maybe it's Titus 3. Turn with me to Titus 3. One of those little New Testament books that is sneaked in there just before around Philemon and Hebrews. Titus chapter 3 and verses 4 to 9. It goes like this. But when the goodness and loving kindness of God our Saviour appeared, he saved us, not because of works done by us in righteousness, but according to his own mercy, by the washing of regeneration and renewal of the Holy Spirit, by whom he poured on us richly through Jesus Christ our Saviour, so that being justified by his grace, we might become heirs according to the hope of eternal life. The saying is trustworthy, and I want to insist on these things so that those who have believed in God may be careful to devote themselves to good works. These things are excellent and profitable for all people. Now, there's so much in there about the goodness of God, isn't there? But how about this? This is quite instructive, that the Anglican liturgy, the liturgy of our Anglican brothers, they read Titus 3, verses 4 through 9 at Christmas, because they recognize that in that verse, verse 4, where it says in the ESV, when the goodness and loving kindness of God our Savior appeared, it is talking about the incarnation of the Son of God. They recognize that the goodness of God is incarnate, is in the flesh, is personified, is born as Jesus Christ by the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit moved over Mary and made born in her the goodness of God. Jesus Christ then is the goodness of God. And that sheds all sorts of light on what it is to bear the fruit of the Spirit, goodness in us. So intimately linked are the three, Father, Son, and Spirit, that their goodness, it comes from all three, and they are the goodness of God. God is good. Look, turn with me in your Bibles, look there in Acts chapter 10, where we have a really, really wonderful verse. Acts chapter 10 and verse 38, I think it is. Yes, here we are. This is Peter speaking to some Gentiles. He says, God, that is the Father, anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and with power. He went about doing good and healing all who were oppressed by the devil, for God was with him. Isn't that wonderful? The Holy Spirit is poured out upon the Son by the Father, and that empowers him to do good. It's as simple as that and as wonderful as that. And don't you just love how Peter summarizes all of what Jesus said and did, all that he saw Jesus do as doing good? Can you see the goodness of God in the life of Jesus Christ? When you read your Gospels, do you see there the goodness of God? Psalm 145 says that God is good to all. So it's no surprise to find that when God comes in the flesh, when the goodness of God is born as Jesus Christ, that we find that he is good to all, and that by the Holy Spirit he shows that goodness of God to all, bearing the fruit, the goodness of God, in the Holy Spirit in his own life. As he walks around Israel in first century, he's good to the repentant, forgiving their sin. He's good to the godly, showing them the Father. He's good to the sinner, warning him to flee the wrath to come. He's good to the poor by giving them his money. He's good to the sick by taking their sickness. He's good to the Pharisees, opposing the work of the devil in them. He's good to the Father, obeying his word. He's good to the disciples, teaching them in all the truth. He's good to the world when on the cross he bears sin away. Now, you know as well as I do that anyone can be good. So what's the difference here? The difference here is that the goodness of Jesus Christ is the goodness of God. It is godly goodness. It was recognized as otherworldly. They said, "Is this not the carpenter's son? Who are you?" And they marveled at his gracious words. You see, this is the goodness of God that we are to bear in the Holy Spirit. This is the standard of goodness for us to show the world. Anyone can be good, can't they? You know, we all have friends and neighbors who are good. But what's the difference here? It's the goodness of God. And what that means is that you and I, we are not bearing the fruit of the Spirit, goodness, until people in the world look at us and are baffled, wondering, where do you come from? Where is this goodness from? Why are you so good? We are not bearing the fruit of the Spirit, goodness, until people are amazed, wondering, is this not the carpenter's son? Who are you? Marveling at our gracious words and our good deeds. Right, we're running out of time, so let me rush over this specifically. The fruit of the Spirit, goodness. Generally, God is good, and all that he gives us is good, specifically in his Son, who is the incarnation of the goodness of God. And specifically now in us. You see, just as it's the Holy Spirit that we just read in Acts 10, who bears the fruit of goodness, God's goodness in the Son, so it is the Spirit that bears that fruit in you and in me. This is why we read that the fruit of the Spirit, goodness, is to appear in the saints. Is this the only way for us to be good? Is it the only way for us to bear the fruit of the Spirit, goodness? Is it only in the Spirit? Is that the only way? Absolutely. Absolutely. It's always been this way. Always been this way for all of God's children through all of time. In Nehemiah 9 and in Psalm 143, the Spirit is described as the good Spirit of God, living inside his people, leading them and teaching them. And so filled with his Spirit, the sons and the daughters of God bear his fruit and are good to one another, good to each other, like our God is good to us, generally, extensively, constantly, all the time. Walking in step with the Spirit is the only way to be good in a godly way. Right, this is all very nice, isn't it? A talk like this, it is wonderful. These are great things to think about, and they can really get us very excited. But practically, what does that look like? What am I supposed to do? Practically, how am I supposed to show and bear the fruit of the Spirit, goodness, in my life? Well, being such a general term, good, it's quite hard to specify, isn't it, practically? But let's just skim across the surface here, and I entrust you to prayer over getting into this a bit more specifically, that in prayer we can discern the will of God for us in our lives and really learn what it is to express the fruit of the Spirit, goodness. But for now, how about this? We show the fruit of the Spirit goodness by copying the goodness of God. That goodness of God, which we have experienced, we are to share and to emulate and to bear forth like fruit. We are, after all, this is the fruit. We are the branches and Christ is the vine. In him, we bear his fruit. We look like him. That goodness that we have had from God, we give to others. He has forgiven us. And so we must forgive. He has been generous to us. And so we must give things away. He loved us to death and to the end. And so we must love one another to death and to the end. He made every sacrifice for us and gave us gifts. He meets all of our needs. He prays for us even now. And so we must pray for one another. Very quickly now, I have two examples to show how all pervasive this is. They're by no means comprehensive or exhaustive, just to illustrate how pervasive this is. And one example is quite comfortable and one is not so comfortable, okay? The first one comes from Psalm 145, verses 7 to 9, where it talks about the goodness of God so influencing and affecting our lives that it spurs us on to talk about it, to talk to one another about it. Psalm 145, verses 7 to 9. Read those afterwards. We are to talk about the goodness of God that we have experienced in our lives. And today, of all days, we've got millions of ways of doing that, haven't we? You can talk to your neighbours when you see them on the door. You can send each other WhatsApp groups in your district for church. You've got family members you can write to or call, Zoom, letters, emails, Facebook. When was the last time that you spoke to someone about the goodness of God? That's something really simple, really easy that we can all do as an attempt to bear the fruit of the Spirit goodness in our lives by just literally sending someone a message saying, how has God been good to you today? This is how he's been good to me today. And you can talk about the goodness of God and may it bless us all as we do so. So that one's really comfortable, isn't it? But here's an uncomfortable one. Romans 15, verses 13 to 14. Romans 15, verses 13 to 14. May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, so that by the power of the Holy Spirit you may abound in hope. I myself am satisfied about you, my brothers, that you yourselves are full of goodness, filled with knowledge, and able to admonish one another or instruct one another. What is goodness linked to there? Paul says that being filled with the Holy Spirit and his goodness is a prerequisite to being able to admonish and instruct one another, to rebuke one another, exhort and challenge one another. That's amazing, isn't it? A prerequisite to dealing like that with one another is to be filled with the Holy Spirit and to be good like God is good. Now, everyone knows what it is to be rebuked by someone in a manner which is not good. But when we are filled with the Holy Spirit and overflowing with the goodness of Christ, then Paul says we can admonish one another without a problem. We can instruct and exhort and rebuke and we can challenge, and it is good. Good in the Holy Spirit. And few of us have that privilege of being able to recall a good rebuke from someone who is good because they're filled with the Holy Spirit, bearing that fruit of the Spirit goodness. It's that goodness of Christ, isn't it, in the Christian, which makes a hard rebuke good. Without it, we'd better keep quiet. We'd better keep quiet and not bother admonishing and rebuking and instructing without goodness. Ask yourself, when you get those temptations, we all get those temptations, I'm going to have a word with so-and-so. Think, is this good? Is this filled with the Spirit? Is this the goodness of Christ? And it may very well be. But that's something there for us to think about, an application here for the goodness of the Holy Spirit in us, the goodness of Christ. But I've gone over my time. If there's just one thing to remember, if there's one thing to remember from all of this, it is Titus 3, verses 4 to 9. If that's all that you remember, just remember that passage there, that Jesus is the goodness of the Father who has appeared to us in the Holy Spirit. He is the goodness which the Spirit bears in us. And so when we strive for the goodness that is the fruit of the Spirit, we're striving for that goodness of God. We're striving for Christ to be born in our hearts. We're striving for him to be cultivated, to be conformed more and more to his image, because he is the goodness. Let me quote St. Jerome again. Christ himself is rightly called goodness. He is goodness in that he gives grace to those who believe in him, not according to their works, but according to their mercy. In Galatians 5, Paul is saying, be like Christ, filled with the Spirit of the Father, overflowing with the goodness which is Jesus Christ in you and in me. Amen. Let's pray very quickly before I hand back over we're going to sing, aren't we? So I'll pray very quickly and then we'll sing a song, okay? Dear Heavenly Father, we bless and thank you for the privilege that it is to be able to study such wonderful things as this. While the world ticks over, Lord, and carries on, rolls on in such horrible ways of calling goodness. They call evil good and good evil, and any good that is here, Lord, is just a pale reflection of what you have to offer. But we, Lord, who are yours, a privilege to be able to see and know and understand that Jesus Christ is the goodness of God in the flesh. We thank you for him and his example in his life and ask that by the power of your Holy Spirit, you should cause us to be more conformed to his image, that he should be born in us, that we should know what it is to bear the fruit of the Spirit, goodness, that we would truly be good to and for one another, for Christ's sake. Amen.